Welcome to the IYBA's podcast channel, powered by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. Each week, we release discussions from our past conferences, summits, and educational events specifically related to the yacht brokerage community. With more than 1,800 members and growing, the International Yacht Brokers Association, IYBA, is the world's largest and most influential association for the yacht brokerage and charter industry. IYBA is dedicated to professionalism and ethics in all aspects of yacht transactions. This week, our segment comes from Yacht Engineering Week 2021.
All right, and welcome aboard. We're here at this point with Jim Hogan from Asco Noble. Asco Noble is the parent company that owns AllGrip and Interlux, two of the best known products in the industry. Jim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure thing, Paul, you're welcome.
I'm looking forward to a little explanation about top coats, about shine. We'll talk a little bit about bottom coating at the latter part of the segment. But we're on board one of the boats that's in process right now over at LMC of having a full paint done.
Correct.
So as people can see behind me, we've got a lot of blue in the picture. And that blue, if I'm not mistaken, is part of the intermediary process between a boat that comes in and needs to be painted and a boat that goes out with a good fresh shine on it.
Yeah, exactly. And we've all grown up knowing that anything that's successful in painting, you have to have a proper preparation. If you skip steps in the preparation process, then you're likely not to have a good outcome.
Well, exactly. Your highest shines are the ones that are most susceptible to showing any defects.
That's correct.
So the work is all in the prep.
And also, the darker the color, the more it will show defects also.
That's why we don't paint them black.
Exactly. It's very important to identify where you may have some highs or lows in the finish.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why they use a product like this this dye right here.
Right.
So that when they begin the preparation process and they're sanding that, wherever there may be some of the material left behind, that would indicate a low area, where the applicator would then build that area back out in order to give them a properly profiled finish before they apply finish primer to it in preparation for top coating.
So this boat in particular, where we stand is, she was brought in, she was evaluated, she was assessed, they gave a quote for a job, then what they did is they started to disassemble, so they took off all loose goods, all the hardware, they start by sanding, they do a quick initial sand, and then they go with the blue dicom. So that indicates low spots for their next sand prior to primer.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
And then after that, what they'll do is they'll squirt primer, yes?
Well, before they do that, once they've identified everything, they'll go ahead and fill those in, usually with an epoxy filler. The reason why we recommend epoxies, they have very low shrinkage rates,
right,
as opposed to polyester fillers, which have a high shrinkage rate.
Okay.
So you could create dimples in the finish, if you will, by choosing an improper filler like a polyester and not an epoxy. So once they've done that, and then they block those areas out, what I mean by blocking is you have to take a sanding device that is bigger than the area you're sanding, and you block that area. That way the entire area around that area you just repaired is smooth. There's no dips or highs or lows in it. That's why you would use a block.
In fact, some of the boats, we see them using something called a longboard.
Correct.
Which is actually an elongated block that's a perfectly flat surface.
Yep.
And it gives them the ability to finish a surface prior to painting.
That's right.
That's perfectly smooth.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So once they've completed that process, then they would begin to use an epoxy finish primer. And the reason why we prefer to have epoxy finish primers, if you really want your boat to look good and you really want a shine that will last and look good, it's important to use an epoxy primer. A lot of captains will ask me, the boat looks pretty good, do I really need to use a primer? And I'll explain to them that by not using a primer, you could encounter some issues with the surface. You could have dye back conditions, you could have surface contamination. So by using a finish primer, we eliminate those in the process.
Well, it also enhances adhesion too.
Absolutely,
doesn't it?
Yeah. The urethane top coats, they like to stick to epoxy primers.
When we go down and we look at a boat that's got some shine on it, we're going to talk a little bit about the differences between epoxies and urethanes.
Sure.
And that's one of the most common questions. But
we'll
address that in a few minutes. Yeah. So where we are right now is in the process, and it's at its absolute worst. It looks worse now than when it came in needing paint. But I think this is a great opportunity for us to stop. We're gonna relocate. We're gonna get some good shine going behind us.
Okay.
And we'll have a conversation about what happens after the primer is applied. All right, Jim. So we got a sense of the importance of the prep. It's about getting the surface smooth. It's about putting the right materials on for fillers and as primers as well. And then what the result is, hopefully, is a great top coat. We're gonna take a look at the shine on this one, but first, you know, there's something that I'd really like to talk about. There are a variety of different products that are offered in the marketplace for top coat. Mm-hmm. And there are linear polyurethanes, there are acrylics. Can you give us a short primer on what's the difference between these different chemical compounds?
Sure. When it comes to the top sides used in the yacht painting, going way back, the original one was a linear polyester urethane, which is what all grip is. Very durable, very chemical resistant, long lasting, has great gloss to it, or shine, if you like to use that word. Pretty much the industry standard for nearly 35 years. We then introduced, and other companies did also, what we call acrylic urethanes.
Okay.
The primary difference there is an acrylic urethane affords the applicator an opportunity to correct something if something goes wrong without having to repaint everything.
Is that because of the way the polymers are suspended in the paint and how it happens when it cures?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's exactly why, right. The polyester urethanes, LPUs, like all grip, they have a very, very finite amount of the polyester resin that rises to the top to lock in everything.
That's what gives it its great shine.
And durability, chemical resistance, and everything, that's correct.
But a nail is too much for it to resist.
Well, it is, that's right. We're not bulletproof. And, you know, I've had that term used before, and I tell folks, look, it's not bulletproof, but it's very durable. But the acrylics, on the other hand, they don't have that extreme durability that you find in a polyester urethane. So they have the ability to be corrected if there's something wrong, whether it's maybe some dust in the finish or a run or a sag, a nail or something scratches it, you can come back and repair that later.
Okay.
The linear polyester urethanes don't lend themselves to that, because once you compromise that little bit of clear on the top of it, you open it up to UV degradation.
And it's hard to blend that clear
back
in.
You get a little bit of a halo, and it just, you know, it just doesn't look proper, and no one's happy with that.
Okay.
So acrylics made it possible for applicators to paint your boat, and hey, I don't like this, there's a little bit of dust here, okay, we'll take care of that. Right. And you didn't have any long-term detrimental effect from that area that was repaired.
Okay.
So having those two on hand now for nearly 45 plus years, acrylic urethane and polyester urethane, the industry drove us towards looking at base coat clear coats. So base coat clear coats were really beneficial to us, because over the years, especially in the last 10 to 12 years, many, many owners and captains are choosing metallic finishes. So a base coat clear coat system allows you to apply metallic base coat that is consistent, doesn't have light or dark spots in it. We call that modeling.
Right.
And the clear gives you a repairable finish.
Okay.
So that has done very well, certainly for us, and I'm sure the other manufacturers also, base coat clear coats, when somebody wants a metallic finish. Lastly, what we've done is, and this boat here is an example of that, we've introduced a high solids polyester urethane that is correctable or fixable.
Okay.
I don't mean to imply that you could polish the finish every year to shine it back up. You don't have to do that. But if you had a nail scratch or some dust or a fender rub or line chafing, you could hire an experienced applicator to correct that situation.
Okay.
So because it's a polyester, you get the durability, the chemical resistance, the strong shine or gloss to it, and the longevity to it.
What does high solids mean?
Well, it basically means that you have a product that is VOC compliant. VOC stands for volatile organic compounds, which is a fancy way of saying solvent.
Right.
Too much solvent evaporating into the air is what regulatory bodies don't like.
Well, a few years ago, people came to realize that in household painting, they had to have low VOC paints, and suddenly you could paint your room and still stand there and not suffocate
from the
exhaust fumes from it.
That's
the solvents that are evaporating out of the paint as it dries.
That's correct.
It's not like the water goes away.
Right.
It's a solvent that's actually leaving the paint.
That's correct. So this latest addition to our product line, which we refer to as AllGrip HDT, High Definition Top Coat, gives us that low VOC offering.
Okay.
So if we do have a situation where regulatory bodies are looking after the applicator for their VOC emissions, they can substitute this top coat for the more traditional ones, and maintain their compliance with VOC issues.
Well, and the reality of it is we're all recognizing that it's our job to take responsibility for the environment.
Yes.
We've been abusing it,
yes,
not intentionally, but we've come to learn a lot of the things that we've been doing have been detrimental. So the ability to use low VOCs makes a huge difference.
No, and I think if there's any industry on the planet that recognizes that, it's the boating business.
Well, you know, it's where we play.
Exactly.
We want to keep the water clean and the air clean.
We play in the best environment, and you're right. We want to keep the water clean. We want to keep the air clean. We have workers. We're worried about their safety.
Absolutely.
You know, they have families, children, things like that.
Right.
PPE is a big issue for us. So we're constantly, you know, advising our applicators, you know, what type of PPE they should be wearing when they're spraying, because you mentioned how when the paint is gassing off, that solvent smell.
Right.
Although it smells nice, it's not good for you.
No, it's not.
Right.
We had a conversation actually a few days ago about the early days of squirting linear polyurethanes.
Right.
And how we didn't really take such
good care. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that, are we?
Exactly.
No, but it's true. We've learned a lot.
And, yeah, and the shines that we're able to bring forward now with all the chemical research and all of the enhancements and advancements in these paints is spectacular, as is evidenced by that boat behind us. Another thing that's interesting that's evidenced behind us on this boat is that when it comes to bottom paints and anti-fouling, obviously preparation is just as important as it is on our top coats.
You would be surprised, Paul, and a lot of people have a tendency to kind of overlook that because they just say, oh, well, it's just anti-fouling
just
paint.
Just roll out another coat.
Well, what do you want that anti-fouling paint to do? Well, I want it to not reduce speed. I want it to protect my vessel from underwater growth, barnacles, grass.
I want it to adhere properly.
Exactly, right. You know, so there's an awful lot of consideration of preparation for anti-foulings also, just like they're off for top coats.
So as you can see here, they've obviously sanded this bottom.
Yep.
They found some low spots. They've patched them in. They've blended them in. They're going to probably come back over and give it a light sand, and then they're going to go ahead and, well, they've got a primer on there now.
That's correct.
So they'll go back into a top coat here.
And again, just as in the top coats, they use epoxy primers also.
Right.
So
great
that's for adhesion, exactly. Durability.
Right.
And you're right. So the next step in this process here will be to sand this epoxy primer before the application of the anti-fouling paint.
Okay, excellent. Well, what we'll do next is we'll take a peek over at a boat that's recently had bottom paint on it. Unfortunately, I think it's a fiberglass boat that's got gel coat, but we'll see if we can find one that's got a shine on top of the waterline as well.
We'll see if we
All
can
right.
find that.
Thanks.
Sure.
Well, Jim, it looks like we have found a boat that has a real nice top coat on it and a fresh bottom as well. So it looks like this one, heck, we're just about ready to pull the tape and throw it in the water, right?
It sure does, Paul, and you're right. The boat looks really good. I mean, it looks like a fantastic anti-fouling application here. Obviously, the top coats look in really good shape. So, I mean, if I'm the owner of this vessel, I would be really happy to call it my boat.
I'm ready to go. That's
yep.
exactly right.
Yep.
So, you said we got a fresh coat of anti-fouling, fresh coat of bottom paint. They're all the same, right? What's the difference?
Well, again, a bit of a misnomer that they're all the same. There are inherent differences in anti-fouling paints. The primary difference is the type of paint. You can have a hard finish paint,
right,
or you can have what we call like a sloughing type of paint.
An ablative paint.
An ablative. To better describe that, think of a bar of soap.
Right.
Every time you wash it, a little bit of the soap comes off that bar of soap.
Gotcha.
That's what ablatives mimic, if you will.
Okay.
And the reason for that is the ablatives, what they want to do is, while you're underway, anything that may have attached that anti-fouling paint will ablate or slough off the finish while you're underway, exposing new biocide. Biocide is the word that describes what type of, for lack of a better word, a pesticide that is used in the anti-fouling paint. That's why they're so restricted, because they are pesticides.
So they just use copper, right?
Well, copper is certainly one of them.
Right.
There are different types of copper, copper thiocyanate, straight up copper, Cooper's oxide. So there's different variants of copper also.
Well, if you step back a couple of hundred years, they used to use sheet copper,
copper
right?
sheeting, exactly.
They used to
right.
just go clad
right.
the bottom of the boat in
right.
copper, because it was the element that they had that had the best repelling properties for bottom growth.
That's correct.
Obviously,
so we're
we
still
don't
using
do that
copper
anymore.
Today. There are some other biocides that are used today, and there are some add to it. They're like separate ingredients from the biocide. And what they do is they help boost the existing biocide in there for the prevention of things like slime around the waterline, which can always be troubling because of the way the sun affects the anti-fouling paint right at the waterline.
Right.
So those ingredients help to combat slime from growing around there. the actual biocide is still doing the work under the waterline with regards to hard shell finish, barnacles, mussels, whatever it may be, and other other types of underwater growth.
Or algae.
Yep. Yep.
So, exactly. So dumping a bunch of cayenne pepper in there isn't effective like we thought it was years ago.
Well, I think we're giving away a little bit of our age now, because that's been a I think that's been a bit of a wives' tale for an awful long time. Of course,
right.
You will encounter people that swear by it, and right. You will run into lab rats who say you're throwing your money away.
Well,
but there were actually antifouling companies that offered it as an additive,
right?
And it was cayenne pepper.
Well, so. And you know what? Different places where you keep your boat have different challenges. You've got saltier or lower salinity waters.
Yeah.
You've got water flow, which is a huge consideration.
Right.
You know, we were talking a little while ago about my roots in the brokerage business were up in Jacksonville.
Right.
And the Ortega River
is
about 7 feet deep. The water is dark brown because of all the tannins. And in the summertime, the water's 92, 93 degrees.
Yeah.
So it's full of Scotch Turf Builder Plus from all the neighbors with the water running off of their lawns.
It's a perfect soup to grow grass or barnacles, wherever it may be. So you're right about that. And that's something I would encourage every captain or applicator to have a discussion first if you're choosing an anti-fouling paint for the first time. Where do you primarily keep the vessel? How often do you use the vessel? Do you incorporate or use divers to go down and have a look at the bottom and do a little bit of scrubbing once a month or whatever it may be? Those are really important questions that should be asked before any anti-fouling paint is on. What's the substrate? Is it aluminum? Is it steel?
Right.
Is it wood? Is it composite? Is it fiberglass?
Right.
All those questions need to be asked first. Now, once you establish that, you find an anti-fouling paint that works for where you keep the boat, how often you use the boat, and the type of substrate. It's really recommended that you don't veer from that or change from that, because that's what's working. So you may encounter something that is being introduced as new and improved or whatever it may be, and it may work very well for you, may not. And that all has to do with not the paint itself, but the environment where the vessel is kept and how often the vessel is kept and what kind of maintenance is done on the vessel.
And we go all back important. To prep again as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
Because you could put an ablative paint over an epoxy paint, but you can't go the other way around.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Yeah.
And you still don't do just a straight application.
Yeah, because if you put that over your ablative paint, then everything comes right off.
Exactly.
What's the captain's question?
Where is
my paint?
Right, exactly. Sloughing epoxy.
Exactly.
So let's talk just briefly about, we talk about applications and what the substrate is and where we are with regard to the paint choices we make. But you know, with so many boats today being kept out of the water, is an epoxy paint satisfactory for a boat that's kept up on a rack, or is that where we can only use an ablative type of paint?
Well,
or they got hybrid types of paints now?
No, it's a really good question you ask. And actually, I'm unfamiliar if there really are any true anti-fouling epoxies. There are underwater epoxy coatings, but they really don't have anti-fouling properties. So you'll find a lot of those used in sailboats where maybe they do a lot of racing.
Right.
They want to be able to burnish the finish or wet sand it and make it nice and smooth. So a lot of them will choose an epoxy coating that's suitable for underwater, but it's not an anti-fouling.
Okay.
Generally, epoxies don't hold up well when they're exposed to UV.
Right.
So they would be, for lack of a better way, I would say they'd be a poor choice.
Okay.
I would certainly advise anybody considering anti-fouling choices to stick with either a hard finish or an ablative finish. Those are your two best choices.
So a boat that's going to be kept on a rack in a dry stack or kept on a lift behind a home. And I mean, today, it's a 53 footer. It's got four outboard engines on it and it lives on a lift.
Yeah.
We're living in a little bit of a different world.
Yes.
Now, it used to be where a 53 foot sport fishing boat, for example, or a motor yacht that was getting used a lot, we'd use a hard paint. But now, with the boats being kept out of the water for a couple of weeks at a time, if I'm not mistaken, when you take a hard paint out of the water, it can lose its efficacy. Am I not correct?
No, you're absolutely spot on with that. And the reason for that is the copper being exposed to fresh air.
Uh-huh.
It can actually degrade.
Okay.
And then you lose the potency of the copper in the, whether it's copper thiocyanate, Cooper's oxide, you lose the effectiveness of it because it's degrading from being exposed to fresh air. Now,
okay.
That doesn't mean you and I couldn't put a hard finish on the bottom of our vessel and we we put it on a trailer to move it to a maintenance shop, have something done, and then put it back in the water tomorrow or the following day, that's fine.
Right.
But an extended period of being out of the water, I would strongly suggest they don't consider a hard finish.
Right.
They'd look at an ablated finish.
Gotcha. It sounds like that's the proper choice.
I think so.
Jim, I think we've covered paints, excuse the pun, but top to bottom.
Yeah.
You know, the differences in the chemical compounds or the chemical compositions of the paints for their shine, their luster, their ability to be repaired, in bottom paints, the different applications, the different environments, the different uses. I think we've got a pretty good overview of what goes on with paint. Asco Noble covers everything from top to bottom. They cover ablatives and hard finishes with the Interlux lines, and they cover all the glosses through the AllGrip and a family, AllGrip family of products as well.
When I'm speaking to a captain and he's in the process of making a decision, you know, which top coat or which anti-fouling to use, I always make him answer me a question, and that is, you know, do you just keep the boat right here where we are? No, we travel all over the place. I'm like, fine, if you travel all over the place, don't you want a company that is also present in the areas where you go?
Well, that makes sense.
So whether it's Akzo Nobel or, you know,
whomever,
another paint company, you should be familiar with the fact that they have representation in other areas where you may go. The anti-fouling that you choose here in the South Florida area will work in the Med.
Right.
You know, you've got to consider that also. So there's a lot of things that go into making that decision. But I always encourage captains to think about it and don't just throw an anti-fouling paint on there for the sake of throwing an anti-fouling paint on there.
Sure.
It's akin to throwing your money away.
Well, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Jim, that's been really informative. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're going to go back over to you, Heather, in the tent, and we're going to continue on with our day. Wait a second. We're not done yet. There's more to talk about. This isn't a one and done. Jim, we put all this beautiful top coat on the boat. We make it shine beautifully. We don't just drive off into the sunset and forget about it. What do we do after the fact? How do we maintain a beautiful
That's a really good question to ask. Care and maintenance is paramount to your finish lasting a long time. Nobody wants to spend money to paint the boat again in a year or two.
Of course.
You know, they want to get multiple years out of the finish,
right.
Have the boat looking good. So it's actually a rather simple approach to keeping paint looking good. We always recommend fresh water washdowns, chamois the finish off. When you have to, use a mild soap.
Are there any kind of particular soaps that you don't want to use that people are inclined to use?
Yeah, that's a really good question also.
Detergents,
dishwashing soaps, they contain a product called, or an ingredient called surfactants.
Right.
Surfactants are grease cutting agents.
Okay.
If you use it on the boat once in 5 years, probably
not
has no
deal.
Detrimental effect. But if that was your regular maintenance product, a grease cutting type of soap, you'd probably cause the paint to lose its gloss over a period
of
time.
So it'll actually degrade that hard surface a little bit.
It'll take it down, exactly.
Okay.
So fresh water wash down, mild soap,
right?
Chamois to finish off.
Right.
Always rinse before you wash.
Spots.
Yep, exactly. If you get a little bit of salt stains on there, which is possible, these vessels are always underway somewhere, you can use a little bit of a mixture of hot water and white vinegar.
Right.
But maintain copious amounts of fresh water nearby, because vinegar is acidic.
Yeah,
and you don't want to leave an acid-based cleaner on the paint.
It'll keep etching.
So again, wash regular, fresh water, mild soap. We do make soap and we do make a polymer sealant.
Okay.
We don't make them because we want to just sell soap and polymer sealants. We really put a lot of research into what works on paint, what doesn't work on paint.
So let's talk about what a polymer sealant does.
Sure.
You know, as hard as that surface is, and to the naked eye, it's like glass.
Yeah.
But it actually is porous to a degree, isn't it?
That's correct. Right. So if you were to magnify the finish and look at it, you would notice there's porosity in the finish.
Right.
So what the polymer sealant's mission in life is, you wipe it on, it will fill in the porosity.
Right.
It dries, you wipe it back off. Don't use a machine because you can create swirl marks with polymer sealants.
Right.
Use Microsoft towels or diapers or something, right, terry cloth. And when you wipe it off, you leave behind some of the polymer sealant in the porosity.
In the pores.
Well, what that does now is that prevents dirt from settling into the porosity. When dirt settles into the porosity or the pores of the finish, it makes your paint start to look dull and old and tired before it does.
Sure.
So it's really in your best interest to
use a polymer sealant. Then you don't have to get that detergent out to clean it all out.
Well, exactly. But the nice thing about a polymer sealant, they're not a wax, they're not a Teflon or anything, a ceramic or anything like that. They're designed to be long lasting, and you don't have to compound them off the boat. They will naturally wear away,
okay.
But they will give you months and months and months of protection. So if a captain asks me, I generally tell him, you should have the crew look after applying a coat of a polymer sealant 3 times a year.
Okay.
If you have areas on the vessel where you experience hard water runoff, calcium runoff from through hulls, things like that, maybe look after that a little bit more. Maybe instead of 3 times a year, maybe 6 times a year, look after those areas.
And our flatter surfaces that are exposed more to direct sunlight.
Exactly, right.
Those
right.
tend to burn off of there more quickly.
That's really good. A lot of times I encounter issues on the vessel where the captain's asking me what it is. I know, but I want to do my due diligence. And it's generally water spotting.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing about water and sun, they, when they're magnified, they become like almost not an acid, but they can etch themselves into the finish.
Sure.
And once they do, it's next to impossible to get it out.
Well,
even compounding and buffing doesn't remove it. It leaves some telltale of that water stain there. So it's important to always chamois the boat off, get the crew working on that every day. Wet surfaces, horizontal ones, chamois them off. Don't let the sun beat on that water all day.
And the light colors obviously reflect that sunlight better than the dark colors.
Correct.
The dark colors are even more adversely
affected. They pull it in.
Absolutely,
right.
Because the heat generated.
Also, and a lot of crew know this already, main deck, boat decks, things like that. Wherever you have cushions, if you're not underway, stow the cushions, because any water trapped under there can lead to the same condition, including blistering. That's why we don't like to see polyurethanes below the waterline,
right.
Because they can blister from water exposure, prolonged water exposure.
Sure,
yeah,
sure. Well, now I think we've got it wrapped up. I think we've got a good handle on preps, on adhesions, on primers, on top coats, on bottom coats. And now I think it's okay to go over to you, Heather, in the tent. I'll see you there in a few minutes.
This podcast series has been brought to you by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. New episodes are released every Tuesday. If you are a yachting professional and you'd like to become a member, go to www.iyba.org. and sign up either as a broker or an affiliate member. We look forward to seeing you at our next event. For more information, go to www.iyba.org and click on Events.